This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner touchdown.
Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, looks, fires over the middle. Caught, rush, 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 touchdown. Welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's complete and he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
It's the season finale of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio. My name is Brian Lowe. Welcome in for an hour of jam-packed fantasy football talk. The last time we'll do this for the 2009 season. It's our second year of the show here on the Fantasy Lowdown, and I think we're getting bigger and better each and every week. Thanks entirely to our listeners, to our emailers, many of whom have emailed us today because they're in their championship week of their fantasy league. We'll try to get them, try to help them get victories here today. Email us in at webradio@patriots.com. You can send us an email anytime during this hour. We'll get to it. And I always say, you can email us at any time during the week. We'll get to it during the next show. But this will be it for 2009, and we'll be back for more next year. But for right now, we've got a lot to get to over this next hour. We'll talk about the B-Low League, and we're down to the championship game. Some upsets that we had last week. I wasn't a part of it. I was in the consolation round. Didn't fare so well. But we'll talk about that. We'll get to some of the phenomenal storylines that we have from last week leading into this week, from Jerome Harrison, Joshua Cribbs, things like that. Some more quarterback situations around the league that shouldn't necessarily impact anyone's fantasy teams this week because they include some of the dreadful teams in the league. And we'll talk about things like how many of the starters and how much will the starters of the Indianapolis Colts play this week. We'll talk about the Christmas Day game, Tennessee-San Diego. You don't have to worry about a Thursday night game this week, so you got a little bit more time. You have until Friday night before you have to really set your lineup, or at least any elements of your lineup that would impact the Tennessee-San Diego game or other player decisions you might have that might be affected by that game. So there's a Friday game this week, and then a full slate on Sunday. We'll get to all that. We'll start, as we always do, with the B-Low League. And here's what happened. We had the 1-versus-4 matchup and the 2-versus-3 matchup, and the 3 and the 4 teams won. Steve Spanners and B-Low's only emailer. Those are the two contestants in the championship round this week, and neither one was really all that close in the 1-versus-4 matchup. James in Wales. Sorry, James. A 34-point outing for Peyton Manning simply wasn't enough when you're going up against the consistent lineup that B-Low's only emailer sends out there. Jamal Charles, 22 points. 20 points from the Philadelphia duo of Donovan McNabb and DeSean Jackson, 20 each. Braylon Edwards has maybe his biggest game. Well, maybe not his biggest game, but he had the only touchdown for the Jets. 16 points right there. Then some good outings from Fred Davis, Frank Gore, even Larry Fitzgerald, and Ryan Grant. Didn't get much from his defense, Minnesota against Carolina, but 128 points was enough to topple James and Wales. What's interesting is here on the Yahoo.com league, they were projected to finish with both 108 points. But James and Wales, he gets huge games from Peyton Manning and Maurice Jones-Drew, a little bit from Ricky Williams, but then too many ones and twos and threes and zeros and fours the rest of the way. So James and Wales, the number one team in our league, falls to B-Low's only emailer. And then in the 2-versus-3 matchup, Steve's Spanners defeats the Generators, 101-88. Matt Schaub, Brandon Marshall, Beanie Wells, Calvin Johnson, just some of the performers. And again, someone with a poor defensive performance. He had Pittsburgh's defense against Green Bay, minus 3 points, still enough to beat the Generators, who had Tony Romo, 20 points, Maroney with 14, LaDainian Tomlinson with 10, but again, just simply not enough. So it sets up Steve Spanners and B-Low's only emailer in the championship round. So congratulations to those two teams for making it this far. Good luck this weekend. Please, we're looking forward to seeing how that matchup goes and hearing from you in this next hour. And as far as my matchup went, I didn't fare too well. Lost in the semifinal of the consolation. Actually got blown out, 119-74. Just an abysmal outing. Listen, what am I going to say? I had Matt Hasselbeck in my lineup. I mean, there's really no excuse right there. Andre Johnson, Jermichael Finley, LeSean McCoy had some pretty good performances for me, but I had Green Bay's defense going against Pittsburgh. That's not going to do much for me. Going up against Steve Smith of the Panthers, Kurt Warner, Miles Austin, Baltimore's D. That's the way it goes. Lost to OJ's dynasty. So that's the championship round there in B. Lowe's League. Web radio at Patriots.com. That's the way to get in touch with us here on the Fantasy Lowdown. And we've got a bunch of emails already in. We're going to get right to it right now. And we also have some rankings we're going to talk about and other things like that. Really touch on Jerome Harrison. But let's just spread out some of these emails that we have over this next hour. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. The arrogant bastards won an ugly win to get into the championship. Luckily, my GM benched Joshua Cribbs, Jerome Harrison, and Jay Feely missed a bunch of field goals to give me a 71-68 victory. Well, congratulations there, Todd. Here's Todd's roster for this upcoming week, the title game. At quarterback, Tony Romo. At Washington, Romo got shut out in the first meeting versus Washington, but the way he played against New Orleans and the way the Skins were lit up by the Giants gives me hope. Todd, I'd have to agree with you. Vince Young is his backup there, and I definitely think that Tony Romo against Washington is the way to go. Young against San Diego could put up some decent points, but watching the Giants just absolutely destroy that woeful Washington defense, that's definitely a reason to keep Romo in your lineup. Wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald against St. Louis. No doubt about that one. And then Dwayne Bowe at Cincinnati. Now, Todd says not sure about this one. His other options are Kenny Britt and Mike Wallace and Josh Morgan. I agree with you. Something really doesn't feel right with Dwayne Bowe starting against Cincinnati, those really good cornerbacks that Cincinnati has. I might give the edge to Kenny Britt slightly. I know he's a rookie. I know they're going against San Diego. It's a game San Diego needs. But I think that you might be able to get a little more of a spark from Kenny Britt than Dwayne Bowe. Now, granted, Matt Castle is throwing the ball. And, you know, Bowe, you know, he missed four games with a suspension. I think you might be okay with Bowe. I'd give the slight edge to Britt. Not really thinking too highly of Mike Wallace and Josh Morgan for this week in these matchups, but I'd give Britt the slight edge over Bowe, but that's sort of, I could go either way there. Running backs, Chris Johnson and Rashard Mendenhall is who he has in his lineup. Joseph Addai as well. I think he'd definitely go Johnson and Mendenhall. Johnson against San Diego, listen, Johnson against anyone.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Right, he is. We don't need to play that Mendenhall-Andy Hart bite next year, do we?
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Can we just get it out of our system this year?
Huh, if he's still ridiculous, Andy's still right.
Well, but he's only been ridiculous very recently. So that comment was from more than 18 months ago. So, you know, I mean,
that comment was before he was drafted.
That's what I'm saying, from more than a year and a half ago, almost pushing 2 years.
It's still relevant. He's ridiculous.
Well, no, it's only recently been relevant. That's what I'm saying. He's only been ridiculous very recently. Let's just get it out of our system now.
Next topic.
There we go. So Chris Johnson and Rashard Mendenhall are the guys to start this week. No doubt about that. Tight end Vernon Davis at Detroit. Really, absolutely. He's been the most consistent tight end, scores almost every week. Definitely get him in there. Now, the wide receiver, tight end, flex position. Todd has Jermichael Finley in there against Seattle. I guess his other options would be whoever, it would be Britt or Bowe, and then Mike Wallace and Josh Morgan. I'm going Jermichael Finley against Seattle. I definitely like that matchup. I like Jermichael Finley as a sleeper just about every week, but Seattle is just reeling, and I definitely go in that direction. Kicker Ryan Longwell, fine, of course, against Chicago. Now, defense is an interesting one. He's got San Fran against Detroit, and then his other option is the Cowboys defense against Washington. Now, I would definitely say you're smart going with the 49ers defense. No doubt about that. Going against Detroit, Drew Stanton will be starting. Very inexperienced. Been around for a couple of years with Detroit, but very inexperienced. And you know that San Fran can get some picks out of that one. Now, Dallas against Washington, though, is somewhat appealing. I give the edge to San Fran there. But listen, seeing what Washington, I mean, you know, the Giants had an interception return for a touchdown on a terrible screen pass Jason Campbell threw. I think you might have a better chance at scoring defensively with the Cowboys, but I think the 49ers are going to shut down Detroit. Maurice Morris had a pretty good game last week, but, I think that they're definitely in bad shape, Detroit. So I'd agree with you there on San Francisco, but it's pretty close. That's a good problem to have there, the San Fran or Dallas question. And Todd says, I just want to say thanks for all the advice this season. I got my championship game. Just need one more win to close it out. Todd, good luck this weekend. Appreciate all your emails all season long and appreciate your listening. good luck. Hope I helped you get to this point in the season. Webradio at Patriots.com. That's our email address, webradio at Patriots.com. Now, Jerome Harrison had one of the all-time great rushing games anyone's ever had in the NFL last week. And it came out of nowhere in the sense that, you know, I bet a lot of people didn't even know who Jerome Harrison was, you know, and what team he was on. Now, in fantasy, what's interesting is that last week it seemed like Chris Jennings and Josh Cribbs were getting a little bit of momentum as far as who to start from the Cleveland backfield. Now, this is from Jamie Eisenberg on CBSSports.com. There's a reason why Eric Mangini will likely be fired as the Browns head coach now that Mike Holmgren has come in to run the team. He just makes bad decisions. For example, let's look at Jerome Harrison this season. He started week 3 at Baltimore and week 4 at Cincinnati and played well when Jamal Lewis was out with a hamstring injury. Harrison had 88 total yards against the Ravens, which is more than respectable against that defense. Then he ran over one of the top run defenses this year in the Bengals with 29 carries for 121 yards and also had some receiving yards there. We said to add him in all leagues on playing the waiver wire. But instead of giving Harrison a chance from that point on, Mangini went back to the plotting Lewis, who clearly had no future in Cleveland even before he announced his retirement. Harrison was relegated to a reserve role and wasn't even ruled inactive in Week 11. At Detroit. Lewis then went on injured reserve in week 13, and Harrison again got the chance to start. What did he do? He had 97 total yards and 2 touchdowns against San Diego. An illness ruined his chances of playing well in week 14 against Pittsburgh, which opened the door for Chris Jennings and Josh Cribbs, and both were stars against the Steelers. It appeared to leave Harrison in limbo until week 15 at Kansas City. With Mangini saying all week we could see more of Cribbs, and since Jennings had 20 carries against the Steelers, it looked like Harrison would be the odd man out. Instead, Harrison had a record-breaking game against the Chiefs. 34 carries, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, and also 2 passes for 12 yards. Once again, you have to add him in week 16 since the Browns have a great matchup against Oakland. It's a very interesting and perplexing situation because, like Jamie said, you know, last week I remember talking on this show, on the Fantasy Lowdown, we talked about Chris Jennings and Josh Cribbs and really thinking, well, you know, you probably shouldn't end up starting any of them, but Cribbs might be the guy on the rise. Maybe they want to give him more touches. They see what he can do with the ball in his hands on special teams and all that. And Jerome Harrison truly was sort of the forgotten guy, but as they rallied against the Chiefs and rallied to win, Cribbs was dominant on special teams, and Jerome Harrison was dominant on offense. And that just begs the question now, where does Jerome Harrison fit for Week 16? If you are in your title game and you picked up Jerome Harrison a couple weeks ago or you have a chance to pick him up right now, you know, what do you do with him? Now, Eisenberg and Dave Richard sort of go back and forth on this in a segment that they have on CBSSports.com. Now, Jamie Eisenberg says, Harrison has proven this year when he gets enough touches, he can be a successful fantasy option. 4 times this season, he's had at least 10 carries, and each time he's had at least 80 total yards with 5 touchdowns. So, in other words, if Harrison's going to get the touches, he's going to produce. Coming off his record-breaking performance in Week 15 at Kansas City, there's no way the Browns can go away from him. He also has a favorable matchup against the Raiders, who have allowed 17 running backs to reach double digits in fantasy points this season. I like Harrison so much this week, I would use him ahead of such stalwarts as Brandon Jacobs, Joseph Addai, and No. Sean Moreno. Jacobs has struggled all season, Addai could be resting in the second half against the Jets, and Moreno has a difficult matchup at the Eagles. Here's what Dave Richard says. My lifelong fantasy football mantra, it's all about the matchups, is not something I'm going to stop following now. Harrison should see plenty of opportunities against a beleaguered Raiders run defense that has allowed 7 100-yard rushers and 20 rush touchdowns this season. LaDainian Tomlinson has struggled on the ground for much of the season and has a challenging matchup at Tennessee this week. Ricky Williams' rushing average isn't as gaudy as it once was. He has 4 fumbles lost in 2 games and faces a Texans run defense that has allowed 1 100-yard rusher since week 4. And Rashard Mendenhall won't see the same opportunities he saw against Baltimore earlier this year when Ben Roethlisberger was sidelined. So in other words, Eisenberg and Richard pretty much agree that Cleveland will ride the hot hand, that when Harrison gets a lot of touches, which they expect him to do this week, he produces. And among the players who they would downgrade and put below Harrison this week are Jacobs, Addai, Moreno, Tomlinson, Ricky Williams, and Rashard Mendenhall. Very interesting how Jerome Harrison has come out of nowhere right now to be a fantasy star, or a projected fantasy star this week. And on ESPN.com, where they have 4 of their fantasy experts, they give their rankings, Jerome Harrison comes down as the 14th highest running running back this week if you take their average rankings. Eric Kasilius, who we had on our show earlier this week, earlier this year, has Jerome Harrison 10th among running backs this week. They play the Raiders. The Raiders did a pretty good job against Knowshon Moreno last week, but listen, overall, the Raiders' run defense is pretty poor, and you know, you got to figure that this will be an opportunity for Jerome Harrison to make it two in a row, two big performances in a row. Maybe he'll, you know, he probably had his career game last week, but keep Jerome Harrison in your lineup. Get him in there if you have the opportunity. This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. Cormac from Ireland chimes in today. Hey, Brian and Doc, I just wanted to firstly wish you a very Merry Christmas to you and your families. Thanks so much for all your help this season. Unfortunately, I went 2-2 in my playoff games, and my now wife, owner of the Generators, who we talked about from the B-Low League, lost her game, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. At least I've got two teams left for the final this weekend. Cormac, happy holidays to you as well. 2-2 in your playoff matchup. Hey, that's not bad. You know, to get into, to have four teams, first of all, and get into the playoffs in two of them, that's not bad. Cormac has a couple of quick roster questions. Firstly, a kicker question. It took to week 16 for us to get a good, legitimate kicker question, which I'm thankful for because I don't like kicker questions on the Fantasy Lowdown, but Cormac is one of our best listeners, best emailers. I'm, of course, going to give him full attention on this kicker question. I have Garrett Hartley of New Orleans versus Tampa and Rob Baronis for Tennessee against San Diego on one team. Who would you play this week? First of all, Cormac, one of my pet peeves is when any fantasy team has more than one kicker. And I mean that. I mean it, really. If you have the best kicker in the league and that guy has a bye, even then, get rid of him, pick up someone else, and take your chances. I'm really serious here. I don't like having two kickers on my team. I don't see why, if you already had Rob Baronis, you feel the need to get Garrett Hartley. I mean, Baronis is pretty good, one of the top kickers in the league. Hartley, obviously, you know, it's not like he's been around forever, but he's on the best offense in the league. You know, sure, you got both of them. I don't know which one is better. Here's the thing. I think Garrett Hartley is going to have a ton of extra points this week against Tampa Bay. I don't think Rob Baronis is going to have a ton of extra points, but my money's on Baronis over Hartley to have a long, meaningful kick late in the game that could give you some significant points. So if it's me, I'm going Baronis. But I can see the appeal in Hartley, and going to these ESPN.com rankings, Garrett Hartley is ranked third, Rob Baronis is ranked fifth. Eric Kasilius, again, bring him up. He has Hartley number one. So listen, you can't go wrong either way. It's just, kicker opportunities are completely based on what everyone else on the team does. That's my thing with kickers, is that I don't devalue kickers. I understand and appreciate the value that kickers have on a fantasy team. It's just that projecting who's going to have a big game as a kicker, you just don't know because it's based on how so many other people do. Running back, they control their fate. Wide receivers, quarterbacks, they control the points that they generate. Garrett Hartley can sit there idly on the sideline as Drew Brees either gets the team into field goal range and stalls or gets into field goal range in the red zone and then the end zone, and he settles for extra points as opposed to field goals. It's just up in the air. So, Cormac, my answer to you is I'd go Baronis because I can see him having more points based on field goals. But Hartley, it's hard to pass up Hartley here because he's going to get the extra points. You know it. They're playing Tampa Bay. So, if you're really asking me and you're going by what I have to say, I go Baronis. But, you know, if Titans get shut out on Friday, it'll be a little bit of a tougher Christmas weekend for you, I bet, Cormac, as you sweat out whether or not Garrett Hartley is going to do any better. Second question, would you play Calvin Johnson versus the 49ers or Pierre Garçon versus the Jets? This is Cormac saying, I'm leaning toward Garçon as Manning may rely on him more this week with Revis covering Reggie Wayne. Two flaws in that, Cormac. Garçon has a hand injury, and, you know, it's up in the air, you know, really how much he's going to play, if at all. And here's what I've got to tell you from rotoworld.com on what the Colts' intentions are this week in general. Colts coach Jim Caldwell sent out mixed signals about his plans to use key players in Week 16. Our number one goal is to win, he said. There may be some time where, depending on how the game goes, whether or not Curtis Painter plays. We haven't made any declaration on who is playing and how long. Caldwell did say Peyton Manning will start, but how long he plays is anyone's guess. He could be pulled after the first quarter at halftime or play all 60 minutes. And Roto-World saying that Manning, Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne are all going to be very risky fantasy bets in an already difficult matchup. Pierre Garçon is also dealing with a hand injury, making it possible that he'll be held out entirely. To me, all of that adds up to Pierre Garçon being on your bench. Now, Calvin Johnson, I understand he's got Drew Stanton throwing the ball to him, and he's really struggled when Matthew Stafford isn't in there. But don't you think there's a chance that it's been more Dante Culpepper who's been the problem for Calvin Johnson? I just think Calvin Johnson is too good to pass up, and I think there's, you know, you figure there's a chance that Drew Stanton goes deep to him, goes to him a lot, tries to rely on him. I just think it's less risky to have Calvin Johnson in your lineup this week than Pierre Garçon. It could be hit or miss on both, but I think with Garçon with the injury, with Revis out there, even though he might not be covering Garçon necessarily. Maybe if they have single coverage on Wayne, they can have double coverage on Garçon. I don't know. I'd go Calvin Johnson. I'd go Calvin Johnson, Cormac. That's my opinion there. Good question, though. It's a tough one. It's an interesting one. But I don't think too highly of Pierre Garçon this week, and neither do some of the experts. So thanks for the email there, Cormac, and truly a genuine happy holidays to you. We always appreciate you chiming in. Here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address, the final show of the year. Another email here. This is from Steve in Sydney. Hi, B-Low and Doc. No question this week. I just wanted to wish you both happy holidays and to, again, say thanks for the show this year. I've made the final in both my fantasy leagues. Thanks to having put the B-Low brand of wisdom to good use and also for having Chris Johnson in both of my teams. Of course, the B-Low league is the one I really want to win. Looking forward to tuning in again next season. All the best, guys. Steve. Steve, of course, is Steve Spanners, who we mentioned earlier, in the finals of the B-Low league. So, Steve, happy holidays to you, too, and thanks for chiming in today. Good luck this week. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that you put the B-Low brand of wisdom to good use, because I just never know. I never really know. I'm a little self-conscious here how much wisdom I'm truly doling out here on the show. But, you know, you're an example of someone who takes my advice, uses it, and finds yourself in the finals of a league that I'm in, which means that I'm not putting my own advice to good use, I think is really what it means. So, Steve, thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you next year. Thanks for emailing in each and every week. Paul in London. Paul in London. We've come to the sad time of the year. We're in the last Fantasy Lowdown show of the year. I've got to the final of the B-Low League, of which I hope there is a prize for the winners and maybe the runners-up. Sorry, Paul. Congratulations for being in the finals against Steve. You know, listen, there's no prize. Prize is pride. It's really just pride that's on the line. But you know what? Maybe we'll come up with something creative. Maybe Jason and I are working behind the scenes. We'll let you know. Paul says, this week, along with a couple of questions on who to start and sit, I've got a couple questions on the Fantasy League as a whole. In the B-Low League, who was your team's MVP? Who was the surprise player? What was your biggest disappointment? And when we play again next year, will you do anything different? Couple of questions for the playoff final. All right, let's get to his questions here before we probably take a break and then get to his questions about the way I break down my team this year. Couple of questions for the playoff final. What are your thoughts on the following players this week? Jerry Norwood and Maurice Morris. You know, Jerry Norwood, Atlanta, against Buffalo. You know, the Patriots didn't have, as it turned out, they didn't have great success running the ball. They had pretty good success. They scored a touchdown running the ball, but you know, yards per carry, it wasn't as good as it should be against really the worst run defense in the league. I think Jarius Norwood could have some good success. I think Maurice Morris might be the number one carrier for Detroit against San Fran, and I might give the edge to Maurice Morris. Donovan McNabb or Brett Favre? I also have D-Jax. So would I be putting too much stock in the Eagles by playing both? On the other hand, Favre is about to destroy the Vikings from the inside, so should I keep with McNabb? Good question. I don't think the Favre stuff that's going on behind the scenes and that went on the sideline there last week is too much to worry about. But that being said, I would still go Donovan McNabb this week against Denver. Now, are you putting a lot of stock into Philly with McNabb and Jackson? Yeah, you are. But I think Favre against Chicago, I don't know. I think it's a decent matchup for him. I give the edge to McNabb in this case. I think McNabb has a lot of weapons that he's using very well. You know, they're at home against Denver. I think it's a good matchup for him. That's my only question this week, as I'm sticking with the stars that got me this far. Good luck to my opponent, Steve Spanners, but not too much luck. Go Patriots. Bring on the Super Bowl. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and see you next year for the third year of the Fantasy Lowdown. Paul and Steve, good luck to both of you. Appreciate you chiming in. Paul, we're going to get to the other part of your question there, because it's very interesting about my team's MVP, surprise player, biggest disappointment. Maybe Jason can chime in as well. Certainly about the final part of that. He probably doesn't really have an MVP or a surprise player. I'm sure he's got a lot of competition for biggest disappointment on his team.
The whole team.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's take a break here on the Fantasy Lowdown. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Web radio at Patriots.com. Still a half an hour to get to us. We'll take a break. Be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe here taking your emails leading up to the finale of the fantasy football season for most leagues. Maybe a few linger into Week 17. But Week 16 is really when it all comes to a conclusion, and we come to a conclusion this week for the second year of the Fantasy Lowdown. I have Kleenex ready. I'm teary-eyed. I know Jason is as well. Jason, so we have an intriguing question here from Paul, who is one of the championship contenders in our league, in the B-Low League. You're right there. Talking about... Okay. Easy does it. Talking about, you know, surprises and MVPs and disappointments and all that for the 2009 team. Now, you had the last place team really all the way through. Did you have anyone even that you would consider an MVP of your team? Because for me... you know, my first round pick this year was D'Angelo Williams, who had a good, very good year, not a first-round caliber year, but better than some other guys who were taking the first-round, guys like Matt Forte and Steve Slayton. So I'm not unhappy with D'Angelo Williams. It just wasn't as much impact as you want to get. Over 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. My MVP was Andre Johnson, who was my second-round pick. 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns. You know, you can't really expect much more than that.
I'd have to give my MVP to Reggie Wayne.
Fair enough. I mean, he's...
with as inconsistent as Brady was, Wayne was consistent. Put up 1,200 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns, generating 172 points.
That's pretty good. Yeah, Andre Johnson at 186. Very satisfied there. Now, I don't remember exactly where everyone was drafted, but I'm pretty certain I took Marcus Colston in the third round. And he had a good year. I mean, he still hasn't cracked the 1,000-yard mark, but it's not because he did anything wrong. It's just that Drew Brees has so many weapons. He did have 9 touchdowns to lead my team. So I was pretty happy there. So, you know, the thing that I had, D'Angelo Williams, Andre Johnson, Marcus Colston, my top three picks, I can feel comfortable that none of them were busts. It's just that, you know, and really out of your top three, I mean, a lot of times, whether it be because of injury or because of just underperformance, I bet a lot of teams, you know, the first three picks, there are some busts. But then I just lost it. Because I think my biggest disappointment this year, I know my biggest disappointment was Darren McFadden, but it's more a disappointment in myself because I so overvalued Darren McFadden. I really, really thought that he was going to be approaching what Adrian Peterson does. I didn't think he'd be Adrian Peterson. I didn't think he truly, literally would approach Adrian Peterson's numbers, but I thought he'd be that good. I thought he'd be that good for the Raiders, and he was awful, then got hurt, and I think I drafted him in the 5th round. I mean, I drafted him way too high. That's by far my biggest disappointment, though there were some others in the mix as well. I mean, Matt Ryan didn't really have quite the year that I hoped he would have. I had Matt Hasselbeck. I really thought that those two would be really a toss-up for me each week, and they kind of were, but not because both were really good. It's just that both were kind of mediocre.
My disappointment would have to be Santana Moss. I picked him up late. I remember that being a late-round pick, and he completely underachieved. I thought he would at least show some glimmer of hope down in Washington this year. Put up 755 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 fumble for a whopping 83 fantasy points.
Yeah. Not what you're looking for there, and you know, every year there are some big disappointments. We talked about a few of them from the running back position, but you know, wide receiver, I mean, you know, you mentioned it there, Santana Moss, Terrell Owens and Lee Evans. I didn't think highly of the Terrell Owens signing, but I thought maybe if he didn't do well that Lee Evans would. So there's disappointments right there. You definitely have a bunch at a lot of different positions, you know, quarterback. I mean, I think a lot of people thought Matt Castle would have a better year than he did. I think people thought Carson Palmer would have a better year fantasy-wise. I mean, Carson Palmer had a much better year for his team than he did fantasy-wise. So that definitely, you know, that definitely hurt. And, you know, there's other guys at wide receiver, Braylon Edwards, maybe Chris Chambers even, who, you know, gets cut by San Diego. So definitely a lot of disappointments there. Now, surprises, I mean, for me, I think I made reasonably decent waiver wire pickups. I didn't make a ton, but I was able to snag LeSean McCoy. You know, picked up Robert Meacham, who really helped me out, and Jermichael Finley. So I think I had some moderate success in some pickups over the course of the year. Mike Wallace as well. I think at one point I picked him up and started him a week that he had a touchdown, and that was promising. That was helpful to me. So I'd say those were some of my surprises. I don't think there was anyone I drafted that truly stood out to me as a real surprise. I think I took some guys where they should be taken, and definitely some guys took them earlier than I expected. Any surprises you had on your team there, Jason?
Picked this guy up back in October, and that would be a tight end for San Francisco, Vernon Davis.
Fantastic.
I didn't really know what to expect. I knew I needed some kind of production out of my tight end's position, and Vernon Davis did it. 858 yards and 11 touchdowns, amassing 147 fantasy points. And, you know, looking at my team, from a receiver, he was second to Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, well, he was the best tight end in the league this year, fantasy-wise. He had the most touchdowns. He had, he had touchdowns in more than half of his games, which is really impressive. And, you know, in a year where Jason Witten had a lot of yardage but not a lot of touchdowns, I didn't think Kellen Winslow would have a huge year, and he didn't. He was okay, but he didn't have a huge year. Tony Gonzalez, you know, started out pretty strong, kind of tailed off a little bit. Dallas Clark had a huge year. There were a few guys up there. No one thought Vernon Davis would be as good as he was. Definitely a surprise right there. I'd
agree. Again, I picked him up off the waivers in October. I can't remember who dropped him, but I think I was going back and forth with someone in our league about I seemed to be picking up everybody they were discarding, and I can't remember if this person dropped him or not, but I picked him up, and that was probably one of the best transactions I made all year.
Definitely, and Vernon Davis, see, the thing with Vernon Davis is he was a former first-round pick in the NFL, sort of had become a bust, but comes out of nowhere. Then you had like JerMichael Finley and Fred Davis, guys who were no one's radar screen before the season began, and all of a sudden this week they're ranked 6th and 7th on ESPN.com's tight end rankings for week 16. So Finley and Davis definitely were the sort of emerging stars, which was very interesting there. So, yeah, that's the way we look at it there, Paul. Paul and Steve in the championship game in B-Low's League on Yahoo.com. We got a great email here. This is from Jeremy. Jeremy says, Jeremy, who emails us every week, owner of the Minnesota Fighting Pike. I found out a little bit about Jeremy, the person, not just Jeremy, the fantasy football owner, because I think, Jason, one thing that our listeners forget is that some fantasy football owners are people, too. Don't you agree? There's humans.
That's a fake laugh, by the way.
These are human beings, Jason. There's nothing funny about that. These are human beings, not just fantasy football owners. Here's what Jeremy had to say. Well, I have some good news, not so good news, and great news. The good news is that I won my semifinal game, posting my second highest point total of the season. The not so great news is that I broke from your suggestions, stepped out on my own, and started Baltimore's defense and Fred Davis last week. Baltimore's D against Chicago had a good game. Fred Davis scored a touchdown. The great news is that I'll be buying lunch for you, Nick, Jason, and the PFW crew. I'm finishing up my residency, and after 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and now 4 years of residency, I'll finally have a real job come July. Part of my residency includes going to Florida each of the past 2 years to help train guys for the NFL Combine. Last year, we had 23 players selected in the 09 NFL Draft. I had a lot of fun listening to everyone on Patriots.com discuss players we've been training, and it's always fun when I pick one of them up for my fantasy team. So pencil me in for lunch for your preseason kickoff show next August, since I'm guessing this program is your last of the season. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate all that. Congratulations. That's 12 tough years, I'm sure, and I applaud your efforts to stay in, to keep up with fantasy football. Round of applause, indeed. Round of applause, indeed. You know, hey.
You're the man!
You say the great news is buying us lunch. I think you should have flip-flopped that. The great news is that you won your semifinal game with your second highest point total of the season. So, congratulations there. You're on to the championship. Let's get to your questions. Running back, pick two of the following. Jamal Charles in Cincinnati. Do I start Jerome Harrison versus Oakland or Ryan Grant versus Seattle? Harrison would have started the game against the Steelers 2 weeks ago, but he was sick. That's the only reason he didn't play much in that game. At the same time, I've rolled with Grant for every game this year. Also, Jason Snelling against Buffalo and Michael Bush at Cleveland are on the waiver wire. You know, it's really got to be Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles, Jerome Harrison, or Ryan Grant. See, until I read some of those items that I read earlier about Jerome Harrison and how high people were on Jerome Harrison, I kind of thought, well, you know what? He has almost 300 yards. He's going to come down a notch this week against Oakland. But I don't see it. I think the Browns have to ride Jerome Harrison. He's going to get the touches. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And I think you've got to start Jerome Harrison. I think Jamal Charles as well. But, you know, the question is Ryan Grant. How do you sit Ryan Grant against Seattle? I'll just read here what Tristan Cockcroft on ESPN.com has to say. It was sort of another take of the Jerome Harrison situation. There have been only 10 instances since 1960 of a single-game fantasy performance of greater than the 47 points Harrison had, and surely that will have fantasy owners buying into the idea that he's a must-start in Week 16 against the Raiders. Don't. He'll be a red-hot pickup, and should be, but take a look at Eric Mangini's backfield breakdown the past 3 weeks. Week 13, Harrison 10 carries and 17 touches, Jennings 5 and 6. Week 14, Jennings 20 and 20, Harrison 7 and 9. Now week 15, Harrison 34 and 36, Jennings 7 and 7. While Harrison's exploits almost assuredly will earn him the Week 16 start, Mangini's backfield strategy has become somewhat maddening. Maybe fantasy owners should go ahead and call him Shanjinihan. which is an interesting one. So there you go, another side of the Jerome Harrison argument. Now, Jamal Charles, Jerome Harrison, Ryan Grant, wow. It may be that Jamal Charles is odd man out. Now, the guy who I have in studio right now I know is going to disagree. Nick, our guy with the Boston accent.
There's my music.
There's, you know, he's got music just like there's Jonathan Papelbon has music when he walks in. Mariano Rivera has music.
This is my pump-up music right now.
Isn't it lovely? Much like the Rashard Mendenhall is ridiculous line, let's try to just get this out of our system now and not have to worry about it in year three of the Fantasy Lowdown.
You're insinuating that Nick will be here for year three of the Fantasy Lowdown.
I'm insinuating all three of us are going to be here. I guess that's probably wrong, right? Who knows?
Never know.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Nick could be the new co-host permanently on the Fantasy Lowdown.
The Fantasy Pop Lowdown.
Maybe that will work.
The Fantasy Nick good. Down.
It's got a ring to it. I like it.
Yeah, kind of. Jamal Charles, Ryan
Although
Grant.
I think that song's a little too short for the open.
A little bit. Jamal Charles, Ryan Grant, Jerome Harrison are 11, are 10, 11, and 14 on ESPN.com's rankings. For this week, who would you sit out of those three?
You know, I
Charles
I have,
against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I have Jamal Charles, obviously. Cincinnati, number three rush defense yeah. in the league, so that's a tough, tough call right there. Ryan Grant's been putting up some pretty good numbers
yeah.
lately, and then Jerome Harrison, I mean, had a career day
right.
on Sunday. So,
well, we've talked about a few different sides of the Jerome Harrison argument. Was it one and done? Is he gonna? Yeah, a lot of people feel
I mean, he's going up against Oakland,
right.
so you got to expect that he's going to be able to put up some decent numbers against yeah. the Oakland Raiders.
I really think Jeremy, you're going to want to go Jerome Harrison and Ryan Grant.
You are, yeah, I think you almost have to in that situation. Based upon that Cincinnati's got the number three rush defense in the league. I know that Jamal Charles did go up against the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and he put up pretty good numbers, but a lot of the numbers that he put up were based off that 97-yard kickoff return that he had because my leagues do
right.
do include kick return yards,
right.
so it kind of helped me out on that situation.
Okay, well, that's where I'm going Jerome Harrison, Ryan Grant. Wide receiver. Jeremy says, I'm starting Andre Johnson, naturally. Then I have Derek Mason at Pittsburgh, Calvin Johnson at San Francisco, or Kenny Britt versus San Diego. Calvin Johnson doesn't have a quarterback. Well, technically he does. It's Drew Stanton, but who's he? Josh Morgan is on the waiver wire. I think between Mason, Calvin Johnson, and Kenny Britt, I think Derek Mason is very intriguing because he's had a very consistent year going against Pittsburgh. Green Bay's offense, Aaron Rodgers, torched Pittsburgh last week. I think this is a good opportunity for Mason. With Calvin Johnson, we talked about him earlier, in a specific matchup, Calvin Johnson or Pierre Garçon. And I said go Calvin Johnson because Pierre Garçon's injured and you never know what Indianapolis is going to be doing. But Derek Mason or Calvin Johnson, I think I'm going to give the edge to Mason this week.
Yeah, Mason, another good pick right there, Bilo. I mean, it's one of those toss-ups. You got Drew Stanton throwing to
right.
to
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
So you don't know really what to expect from Stanton. If it was Stafford, you might go with San Francisco. But Pittsburgh's pass defense has not been able to stop anybody.
No.
I mean, they are plummeting down the defensive charts here week in and week out. They still have one of the best rush defenses in the league. But their pass defense is deplorable without Polamalu.
Yep. I think you're going to want to go Derek Mason there. And, Kenny Britt, I do kind of like, but I don't like him better than Derek Mason this week. And Josh Morgan, I don't think you have to really consider there. Tight end is an interesting one here. Brent Celek for Philly against Denver or Fred Davis against Dallas. I think you go with the hot hand in Fred Davis. Even though Jason Campbell and Washington's offense is pretty weak, he did still score last week, the Monday night game against the Giants when Washington was terrible anyways. And I just think Brent Celek sometimes gets lost in the mix there with everybody that Philadelphia has. So I think Fred Davis is a better option this week in this case.
I always like going with Celek. I know this question's been posed to us before a few times this year. Denver, their defense has not been as hot as it was earlier in the season. I do, and the way Washington looked on Monday night, I mean, that was what a terrible performance.
Awful. It was a joke.
I mean,
it was pathetic. But But Davis still scored.
Yeah, he still got a touchdown, I guess, in that game. And I mean, who else does Campbell have to throw to in that offense?
And they're probably going to be throwing the ball a lot. They couldn't run it last week. They don't really have good running backs. I think they're going to be throwing it a lot. And I think Fred Davis is a good option.
I kind of like Dallas's defense a little bit better than Denver's defense going to get matchup wise.
True.
So
sure.
I guess they have to get the ball to somebody. Washington's going to gain some yards. Yeah, maybe they'll get the ball to Davis, but I go with Celek on this one.
Okay.
On this one.
Defense, Baltimore without Ladarius Webb and Ed Reed at Pittsburgh, or do I go with Minnesota against Chicago? They're a different defense without E.J. Henderson, is what Jeremy says, at Chicago, and then Atlanta against Buffalo is on the waiver wire. To me, I think you go Minnesota. I think a team going against Jay Cutler, Minnesota's still a very good defense. Going against Jay Cutler, he throws 2 to 3 interceptions a game on average. And Baltimore against Pittsburgh, I mean, Pittsburgh, we talked about how bad Pittsburgh's defense has been. Their offense has been pretty good. They've been able to score on some good defenses.
Over 500 yards passing from Roethlisberger last week. And I actually have Jay Cutler on one of my teams.
Sorry.
I'm benching him this week in favor of Vince Young.
Yeah, I'd hope.
And, yeah, basically the main reason is because they're going against Minnesota. Minnesota I also have on that same team as my team defense. So I'm hoping Minnesota puts up pretty good numbers defensively. You know, Chicago can't get things going. Hoping Cutler throws, 3 to 4 picks again. And, I'll be moving on to the championship in that league.
He'll get his picks. He'll throw his picks. No, I think Minnesota's a good bet this week against Chicago. I think Baltimore, good defense, and I just don't know if they're really all that startable this week against Pittsburgh. Bonus question from Jeremy. That's how good of an email Jeremy is. He gives us a bonus question.
He does. He emails every week.
Absolutely.
Right? Very nice.
This year I roped myself into owning a second team. Fever of Unknown Origin is what it's called, in a different league, and I'm in that championship too. I have one question for that team. At running backs, he's got to pick two of the following five or six. Lawrence Maroney against Jacksonville, Jerome Harrison against Oakland, Jason Snelling or Michael Turner against Buffalo, Quentin Ganther against Dallas, or, drum roll please, Beanie Wells against St. Louis. Way to save the best for last there. Beanie Wells against St. Louis is certainly one of them.
Tough call.
He's
got a lot of good options this week, which is good. It's good to have a lot
of course.
Options. That are good ones, too.
Beanie Wells against St. Louis, I think, is an automatic start among the two. I think Quentin Ganther, eliminate. I don't like Quentin Ganther. I don't like the Washington run game for sure against Dallas. I don't like that. Get rid of him. Snelling and Turner against Buffalo. I mean, I don't think Turner's going to be at 100%, and I don't think there's any reason for Atlanta to push it because they're out of the playoffs. I think Jason Snelling's an intriguing pick because Buffalo's run defense is that bad. Now, the Patriots, they had a good, not great game against Buffalo in the run, but Maroney did score. Now, Maroney against Jacksonville, I guess I'd say the same thing I said last week, but I think I was wrong last week. I thought Maroney was not really a great start because I figured between Morris, maybe Fred Taylor coming back and all that, they'd be sharing the load a little bit. I don't want to make the same mistake again, so I'd say Maroney is a pretty good bet. But then there's Jerome Harrison. I mean, I guess it's Wells and Harrison, right?
Yeah, I think matchup-wise, when you're looking at it, you sit Maroney this week because of Jacksonville's rush defense. They're not great, but they're middle of the road on rush defense, 103.7 yards a game. I mean, and your other options, look at the matchups. You got St. Louis, who's the 27th ranked run defense in the league. You have Buffalo, who's absolutely terrible. They're last in the league. And then you got Oakland, who's 28th. So I think you go with one of those three matchups with those three running backs. Like you said, you don't know if Turner's going to start. He's had that high ankle sprain. That's always a problem for players coming back from those high ankle sprains. So maybe you go with Snelling against Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo has the worst rush defense in the league. And then you take your pick. I mean, I like Beanie Wells against St. Louis. Had a pretty big game last week against Detroit. And I also like the matchup against Oakland. One of the things that happened with me this week is I have...
What happened with you this week? That's what we all want to know.
I actually have Jamaal Charles and Ray Rice on one of my teams. And I ended up starting Beanie Wells against St. Louis over Ray Rice, who I haven't sat all year. And the only reason is because of the matchup. Mm-hmm. I don't like that matchup against Pittsburgh. They're the number one run defense. And I think you just have to trust your gut and expect that, they've been bad all year on run defense, St. Louis has. So why won't they be bad on Sunday? And you got to expect Pittsburgh. I mean, they're going to try to, I guess, force force Baltimore to throw the ball.
Yeah, you do have to trust your gut a lot of times, and that's the way it goes in fantasy football.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going Maroney, and I'm going Wells and Harrison there, Jeremy. Hey, he says, thanks for a very entertaining show. Please email me with the date when your show will open next August. Of course we will, Jeremy. We'll let you know. You email us every week. We can email you once.
We'll even let them know if we do a little preview show.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. You know, maybe we'll do something at some point during the off season. All right? So thank you, Jeremy. Good luck. Congratulations on getting through 12 years of medical school and residency and all that. Much appreciated. Good luck to you. Nick, why don't we just get a quick rundown of you in the playoffs?
Well, right now in the ESPN league that I went 7-6 in, I actually upset my brother's team. He had lost two games all year going into the playoffs. I upset him. It was a 2 weeks was the first round of the playoffs. It was only top four teams made it, and I absolutely blew him out last week. And my team had over 200 fantasy points last weekend, which was pretty good. And so now I'm going against the number three team from that league in the championship. That's the next 2 weeks. And then in my Yahoo league, I'm 14-1, blew out the eighth seeded team last weekend. And I have kind of a tough matchup coming up this weekend in the semifinals. And then hopefully I'll make it to the finals and just, you know, win it all. I mean, that's what
that
it's
is
all
the
about,
hope.
So.
That is the hope once you get to this point, Nick. That is the hope. more emails here, webradio@patriots.com, as we close out the final show here of the season. We still want to hear from you. You can still sneak in an email here if you get it. This is from Tobias in Sweden. Hey, Brian, thanks for a great show. I've been fortunate enough to reach the championship game in two of my four leagues. Here are a couple of important decisions I need to make. Team one, at running back, do I bench Joseph Addai in favor of Justin Forsett? I also have Jamal Charles, who I think is a must start. Assuming Jamal Charles is taking one of your starting positions and you're talking about a die or Forsett, Seattle against Green Bay, don't like it all that much. A die, the question is, with Indianapolis, who starts, who sits, who plays a lot. I think it comes down to you probably want to keep a die in there. You probably want to keep a die in there. Forsett against Green Bay, I don't know. I mean, teams have been able to run on Green Bay recently, although they do still have the number two run defense in the league. So, I don't know, tough one there. I'm probably leaning towards a die.
I mean, the Jets, they are the number one overall defense in the league, but when you look at the rush defense matchup there, Green Bay number two, the Jets are only 11th in the league, so You go with the more experienced back, Addai, I think, in that game. Forsett, not that experienced in this league. And you just Seattle, not that great of a team. I like the Indianapolis, of course, a lot better than Seattle. And their offense is good. They don't really run the ball, but you got to expect Addai to get his touches and put up some kind of points.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I'd probably go with Dye along with Jamal Charles. Wide receiver, I have Miles Austin, Vincent Jackson, Robert Meacham, and Michael Crabtree. Who do I sit? Well, to me, I don't know if you have two or three wide receiver slots. I think you have them in the right order. It's Miles Austin and Vincent Jackson if you have two slots. It's then Robert Meacham, who I really like because, I think any of those two or three guys from New Orleans, especially going against Tampa Bay, you want to get in your lineup. And then Michael Crabtree, I think, is a guy that you'd want to sit. So if you have two slots, it's Austin and Jackson. If you have three, it's Austin, Jackson, and Meacham. Pretty straightforward there to me.
I mean, it would be tough to sit. I understand where he's coming from with Crabtree. San Francisco is playing Detroit at home. You can't expect much fight from the Lions this weekend. They've been out of it for ages, for months. So I can see why he wants Crabtree, but Jackson's been a touchdown machine. Philip Rivers basically throws him up the ball. He comes down with it about 90% of the time. He's a pretty good receiver. And Miles Austin, he's been putting up big numbers for Dallas. So
no question. Well, and tying in that Detroit 49ers game, next question from Tobias is, do I play the 49ers defense against Detroit or Cardinals defense against St. Louis? And, I mean, you can't go wrong on either one of them. You're playing two of the inept teams in the league. I'd probably go Cardinals on that one. Really quick, we've just got to get through a couple more emails here. This is still Tobias. Team 2, a couple of really tough choices to make here. Running back, Chris Johnson, Jamal Charles, and Jerome Harrison. Who the bleep do I sit? Well, you don't sit Chris Johnson against anyone. So between Charles and Harrison, probably giving edge Harrison, I think, is the consensus for Nick and I and for pretty much everyone we've read.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for Charles this week. And once again, you don't know what to expect from him. I think you got to go with Jerome Harrison. I mean, any other given week, you probably go Charles over Harrison. But because of the matchup and because of what Harrison did last weekend, you got to go with the guy with the hot hand. I know Charles has been on fire as well, but matchup-wise, it's a little bit better for Jerome Harrison this weekend.
Wide receiver, basically six valid options, only three to start. Vincent Jackson, Chris Chambers, Dwayne Bowe, Mark Clayton, Santonio Holmes, and Steve Smith of the Giants. Certainly Jackson is one of them. I think Steve Smith of the Giants is now pretty regularly startable to play in Carolina.
He's establishing himself very well as the number one or number two option there for the San Francisco – I mean New York Giants.
For the Giants, yeah.
Sorry.
Chris Chambers, Dwayne Bowe, I mean, I'm not really too excited about either one of them for Kansas City there, but, you know – I mean, they're going against Cincinnati.
Chambers has been pretty big time.
He's pretty good. He started out strong. He's been pretty big time. Don't really like Clayton. Santonio Holmes, not a bad choice. I might go Chambers if you have three of them. Vincent Jackson, Steve Smith, Chris Chambers.
If you have three, what is it, two out of those three?
Three out of the six.
Three out of the six.
Jackson, Chambers, Bowe, Clayton, Holmes, Smith.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go, like you said. I mean, obviously start Vincent Jackson. Chris Chambers, I mean, he's been playing very well for Kansas City since he's come over from San Diego. So I think that's a pretty good option right there.
Okay, real quick here, tight end, Tony Gonzalez or Brent Celek? I say Gonzalez. Defense, the Falcons or the Niners? I go the Niners this week against Detroit. Falcons playing Buffalo. In both teams, I have Rivers at QB. Is he safe to start or should I scan the waiver wire? No, he's safe to start. Against Tennessee, I think Rivers
yeah,
is starting every week.
Rivers is one of the elite.
There's no one on the waiver wire
in this league that you got us.
No one on the waiver wire you're going to want over him. Okay, email from Tracy that came in. This is for you too, Jace. I was the one that you kept talking about that you kept taking my cast offs from. You didn't get Vernon Davis from me. I was interrupted, so I missed what you were saying a minute ago. What were the other names? I'm sorry, Tracy. Can't remember when we went back to that. We were talking about where Jason and I got our cast-offs from. By the way, I took B-Lo's advice on Anthony Gonzalez and kept him on my roster all year. Not a good move on my part. Unfortunately, it looks like this is how we're closing out this year of the Fantasy Lowdown with one of my really bad pieces of advice. Sorry about that, Tracy. Tracy says, I also had the Bengals defense again. I held on to them and not a good move there either. Tracy, what do you want me to what can I say? I let you down. I'm sorry about that. My MVP was Aaron Rodgers. It was great being involved with...
I apologize 1,000 times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
It was great being involved with your league this year. I look forward to next year. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and most of all, Happy Festivus. Also, listen to this, Jason. Please stop playing the Mendenhall is ridiculous line. All right, give it one more. I know you
Mendenhall
want to.
Hall is ridiculous.
Every time I hear his name, I repeat that line. No one knows what I'm talking about, so I look a little crazy.
Tracy is ridiculous.
Fantastic email, and I'm sorry that I let you down there on the Anthony Gonzalez and Cincinnati moves. Well, we've come to the conclusion here of today's episode of the Fantasy Lowdown and for the entire season. Many, many thanks to everybody who has listened in last year and this year. I think we're growing as a show. I enjoy doing this. I thoroughly enjoy doing this. Love doing fantasy football. Love getting questions on who to start and who to sit. I hope everyone understands it's all fun. It's all fun and games. I try to give my best advice out there that I can. I rely on people like Nick and Chris and other people we've had in here. Thanks again, Nick.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And this is on
much.
His video reel that he's going to be showing all his family on Christmas on Friday. I know. Many, many thanks to Jason and everybody at Patriots.com. I enjoy doing this. Definitely keep in touch here on Patriots.com for information on potentially some off-season Fantasy Lowdown episodes, and we definitely want to hear from you. The Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com, signing off for the 2009 season. Many thanks. Happy holidays. We'll see you next year.